enjoy that. We have a very special event in the life of our church at this time, and that is the ordaining of two new deacons. So we're going to run a little over tonight, or today. Shouldn't be, I don't assume will be tonight by the time we finish, but these things are hard to predict. I don't have a regular sermon for us, so you are spared that, but I will be sharing some brief thoughts on spiritual leadership after the ordination service. So at this time, I'd like to invite James and Karen Hathorn and Will and Heidi Griffin, if you both as couples would come here and sit on the front row, that would be great. This is an exciting day. I've been looking forward to this. This morning we have the privilege of ordaining James Hathorn and Will Griffin as new deacons for Community Bible Church. The office of deacon is central to the functioning and well-being of a local church body. It is not to be entered into lightly or for personal gain. It's a position of service, of leading by considering the needs and concerns of others above yourself. The elders of Community Bible Church, after much prayer and discussion, have presented these two men before the church as men well qualified for the office of deacon, and this congregation has affirmed your selection. We rejoice in God's leading, and we are grateful for His provision for His church. Your life bears testimony that you are running the race well, faithfully following and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Ordination is a divine appointment to a particular ministry of service. This is not a man-made appointment. It's not dependent upon your education, your natural skills and abilities, your accomplishments. God has raised you up to this position of leadership, having met the qualifications that God has given us in 1 Timothy chapter 3, which I would like to read at this time. 1 Timothy chapter 3, there are also qualifications listed in Titus chapter 1. Some overlap there, but we're going to focus on 1 Timothy chapter 3. As soon as I find said book in my Bible. I'll be reading verses 1 to 13. It is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. An overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? And not a new convert, so that he will not become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil. And he must have a good reputation with those outside the church, so that he will not fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Deacons likewise must be men of dignity, not double-tongued or addicted to much wine or fond of sordid gain, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. These men must also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. Deacons must be husbands of only one wife and good managers of their children and their own households. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. The term deacon is an English word which comes from the Greek word diakonos. It's a Greek word that's found 29 times in the New Testament. It's usually translated servant or one who ministers. As we look at that word in the Scriptures, we find four major focuses of their ministry: to be servants of God's people, to be defenders of the faith, to be ambassadors for Christ and the gospel, and to be examples before others as they live out their faith day by day. So first of all, to be a servant, we look at Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. In that passage, God raised up men who were set aside by the church in Jerusalem to serve tables. The apostles were being distracted from focusing on the ministry of the Word of God, and they needed some help. So they chose from among them godly men who would serve as deacons, caring for the needs of the saints. It says in one of the verses, "And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them." James and Will, just like these men, were appointed as servants in the church of Jerusalem, so too you have been called to be servants. The hallmark quality of a godly servant is humility. Jesus said in Matthew 20, verses 25 to 28, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. I charge you as new deacons to humbly serve the people of God in service to your Lord." Second, be a defender of the faith. We look at Acts 6, verse 8, all the way through chapter 7, verse 60. Acts 6 continues with the testimony of one of these new deacons, a man named Stephen. Some men rose up against Stephen, and he stood and gave a great defense of the faith. In the end, they, of course, stoned him to death. The truth is, there'll be times both in the church and outside the church in which you may need to rise up and defend the faith, taking a stand on the side of truth and the authority of God's Word. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. I charge you as new deacons, defend the faith. Know the Word. Defend the Word." Third, be an ambassador for Christ and the gospel. Another place we find this word diakonos is 2 Corinthians 5:18. It says, "Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." Then Paul goes on in verse 20, "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ." The word ministry, ministry of reconciliation, that word is the Greek word diakonos. God gives us the service of reconciliation, the deaconship of reconciliation. He of course challenges all of us as Christians to be ambassadors for Christ wherever we go, to represent Christ well. But certainly it should be true of men who are called to be deacons. As you serve, your service includes a deep and abiding commitment to be Christ's ambassador, bearing good news in a world of darkness. As a deacon, we look to you to take the lead as God's ambassador for Christ and for the gospel. I charge you to be a minister of the message of reconciliation. And then fourth and finally, be an example before others as you live out your faith day by day. The qualifications for deacon laid out in 1 Timothy 3 that I read for us says that God has raised you up to this office and you have been confirmed by this church body because your life exemplifies the character qualities in that list. Not perfectly, like any of the rest of us at all, but in growing and in a progressing way. We see in you a commitment to be men of dignity, to maintain a good reputation, to be led by the Holy Spirit, to conduct your life with wisdom. We observe you to be men who want to be faithful, to have a teachable heart, who seek to honor God in church, at home, in public. A central part of serving as a deacon is continuing to grow in grace, that you might become a mature man in the faith, and as such that you might be a consistent testimony and example of a fully dedicated man of God. I charge you as new deacons, be an example to others of how you live out your faith. To the church, I also charge you with two responsibilities. The first is the most important and the most obvious, and that's to pray. Please pray. If you want to know how to pray, then pray as Paul did in Colossians 1, verse 9 to 12. "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the..." So as I read this, think about praying for these two men right here. "We've not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of light." Would you not like for people to pray for you like that? That would be a very good prayer. Charles Spurgeon said that his greatest strength came to him because he knew that a large portion of his congregation on a rotation was praying for him every Sunday morning while he preached. They would meet in the basement of the church praying for him. Pray, please pray faithfully for your pastor, the elders, the deacons of Community Bible Church. And then second, I would encourage the congregation to support and encourage these two men to serve as a deacon is to bear an additional weight of responsibility for the life and the well-being of the church. Those who serve do so in honor and obedience to our Lord and in loving devotion to His bride, the church. They love you. They willingly serve you. As they face the challenge before them, they need and deserve your support and your encouragement. And so James and Will, be a servant. Be a defender of the faith. Be an ambassador for Christ and the gospel. And be an example in how you live out your faith. Hebrews 13 tells us, "Now the God of peace who brought you up from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep," Now the God of peace who brought up from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you. Equip you in every good thing to do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. May God bless you as you serve. At this time, I'd like to invite all the elders of Community Bible Church, active and inactive, if you are serving or have served as an elder of the church, would you please come forward for the laying on of hands of these two new deacons. I'm going to ask James and Will, if you'll please come right up to the front, and we'll have you kneel facing the audience. Thank you. We're going to have them stand because we're older with bad knees. Something's happening here. Sorry. Okay, guys, step forward a little bit and gentlemen, gather around. And we're going to pray together. Let's bow. Our Father, we thank you so much for Will and for James, for these two men who love you with their whole heart, who would be the very first to confess that they are not perfect men, but want to be men who honor you in all things. I thank you, Father, for raising them up to be deacons and leaders in our church. Thank you for how already as a church family we've been so blessed and touched by who these men are, how they live out their faith in their personal life and their homes and their marriages and how they raise their children and how they serve, how they love you, Father. And now we're honored that they have answered your call to serve as deacons. We pray, Lord, that as they do, that you would watch over and guard them and their loved ones. The enemy would love to wreak havoc and to bring harm to them in any way possible. So we pray, Father, for your protection and watch care. I thank you, Father, that their heart's desire is to serve, to walk humbly before you and to serve your people. And I pray, Lord, that you would grant them great favor as they do so. May they know and love your word and be filled with wisdom from it, Father, that they might be a part of guiding this church in the direction you would have it to go. I pray, Father, that they would have the love that you've so filled their hearts with would just be abundantly expressed through them to touch this church family in wonderful ways. May they love your people well, serve your people well. As a board, we're grateful, Father, to have them join the team that you've raised up. I thank you for each of the men on the platform today, and I pray, Father, that as Will and James join them, that you'll just build a great heart of unity and humbly listening to and honoring one another. Father, may you be the center of leading our church, for you are its head and we are not. And we bow to you and we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I know we're running late, but I would like to share just for a few moments on some thoughts about spiritual leadership. Obviously, as we listen to and study God's Word, it's His great desire to raise up godly leaders to lead His flock and to lead the charge really in taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. The world has a lot to say about the nature of leadership, and you can go all kinds of seminars about that and read all kinds of books. And it promotes its own philosophies and ideas, but as we go to the scriptures and we observe the examples of great leaders in the Bible, we can conclude that Christian leadership really is very different. The essence of biblical leadership is found in three major domains: spiritual maturity, character, and servanthood. The bottom line of being a person that God can use effectively as a leader is growth in these three areas. The more that we grow spiritually, the more that God can use us. It's true in any area of life, not just leading in the church. The more that we develop Christ-like character, the more that God can use us. The more we take on the Christ-like role of a servant, both in attitude and action, the more that God can use us. Secondarily, three other qualities provide the rest of the foundation for an effective and usable Christian leader: faithfulness, availability, and teachability. If a person proves unfaithful in his responsibilities and commitments, then God will choose another vessel to do his work. If a person is unavailable for God to use him, then God will choose another vessel to do his work. If a person is not teachable, moldable, pliable in God's hands, then God will choose another vessel to do his work. And so we look and we pray for the kinds of men that exhibit these qualities of spiritual maturity, Christ-likeness, and Christ-like character and servanthood, as well as faithfulness, availability, and teachability. Beyond those godly qualities, biblical leadership involves three building blocks: information, insight, and inspiration. Information is seeking God in his word about what he wants a group of believers to be and to do personally and corporately, so it's knowing where you're going. Insight is helping fellow believers to be and do what God wants them to be and do. That's knowing how to get there. Then inspiration is being the kind of person that God can use to influence and inspire others as they progress in the direction that God wants them to go. That's knowing how to take others with you. So you want to know where you're going, know how to get there, and know how to take others with you. That's a good leader. Of course, you can't really influence others to grow in their walk with God and to use their gifts in service and become all that God calls them to be unless you do something that Jesus did. It's vital to real Christian leadership. It's found in John 1, verse 14 and Mark 3, 12. In John 1:14, Jesus said, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And then Mark 3:12 says, "And he appointed the 12 that they might be with him." To lead God's people well, and to you have to be with them, spend time with them, be among them. That's harder and harder to do in our culture today as people are increasingly disconnected and isolated, but it's important nonetheless. It means that we need to work hard at finding ways to spend time with one another, significant time, meaningful time, fun and playful time, time in prayer, time to laugh and cry together, time to share life together. At CBC, we can't just have a monthly elder and deacon meeting and think that we're leading. We're not. God calls us to know the flock and be involved in people's lives. At this church, we consider this to be a family, brothers and sisters in Christ who are seeking to walk down the road of the Christian life together, encouraging and supporting and strengthening one another as we go. And just like Jesus, as spiritual leaders, we are called to be with them. That's a vital part of what God calls us to be as those who serve the flock. And as we do that, we become more sensitive and aware of people's needs and concerns, their struggles that they face, the issues they wrestle with, the burdens that they bear, and we can more effectively minister grace and truth to one another in the name of Christ. So be with God's people. To the church, let me say something that is quite obvious. All the people who have ever served or will ever serve in leadership in this congregation, pastors, elders, deacons, ministry leaders, Sunday school teachers, on and on, all of us are, here's the obvious part, we are all imperfect vessels. None of us lives up to the qualifications of 1 Timothy 3 like we would want. We're each flawed, fallen, broken people who find forgiveness and healing at the foot of the cross just like any other child of God. Which means please pray for those who lead. Please bring them before the Father in prayer, asking him for wisdom and guidance, strength, protection, humility, and service as we lead. But also those whom God raises up to lead the flock are still part of the flock. We're all sheep. Sheep wanting to follow the good shepherd. And that means that we claim no inside track, no special privilege, no superior knowledge or skill. We're just sheep helping other sheep follow the shepherd. So you need to know that you can come to any leader at CBC, pastor, staff, board members, ministry leaders, teachers. You can come to anyone. And you can ask a question, share a concern, bring an idea anytime you want. Those who lead will lead best by being open and available and receptive to the needs and wishes and ideas of the rest of the flock. It's our job to listen well and that you be fully heard. So please know that it's our desire to be ready and willing to hear because we care, we value your input, we want to responsibly meet the needs of those we serve. Let me mention just one other thing. 1 Timothy 3 mentions that if anyone aspires to be an overseer, he desires a noble task. It's a noble thing to want to do that. It's a commendable thing to want to become a mature believer who might one day serve in spiritual leadership in the church. It's a good thing. But I've talked to a lot of church leaders in other churches as well here as here at CVC, and almost none of us feel successful at this. We don't. We know there's always more than we could be doing, more needs to meet, more holes to fill, more ways to give. We often feel like we're letting others down, letting ourselves down, letting God down. Part of that's understandable. The only person who ever really mastered this was Jesus, and none of us are Him. We want to be more like Him. We want to serve like Him, but we aren't Him. We know we fall short. In our humanness, our fallenness, our weakness, we fall short. We keep on because God is gracious and patient and kind, and we know that He's called us to this task. But we always bear a deep sense of inadequacy at this, which is why when you pray for your leaders, pray for them to fully lean on God, because only God can equip and enable those who lead to lead like Jesus led and to serve as Jesus served. Because in our weakness, and we are weak, in our weakness He is strong. One of my favorite images of being a follower of Jesus comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, which describes each of us as being a fragrance of Christ, a sweet aroma of Christ. Those who would be spiritual leaders know that they are not Christ, but they would like very much to be a fragrance of Christ, a sweet aroma of Christ wherever they go. So as you pray for your leaders, pray for that, that even in our weakness, even in our frailties and inadequacies, we might be a sweet aroma of Christ to the body of Christ and to the world around us. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful and grateful for these two men that you've raised up today to answer the call to serve as deacons here at Community Bible Church. I thank you, Father, that at this church, we really want to honor your plan and design for how leaders should lead and serve. We aren't looking for the best businessman. We aren't looking for prominent or well-known local citizen. We aren't looking for people that have wealth. We would just like to follow your plan because that's the plan you'll bless. And so, Father, we look at these qualifications and each of us would readily admit, I'm not that man, not yet. I long to be that man, but not yet. And yet you raise up men who say, Father, I will serve. And in my weakness, I will serve. And so we thank you for Will. We thank you for James, for their wonderful wives. We pray, Father, that as a leadership team, a board of elders and a board of deacons, that you would guide our hand, that we would be above all faithful and true to your leading in our lives and in this church, and that we would be sensitive and caring and just listen well to the flock of which we are a part. Thank you, Father, for the privilege. We pray, Father, that you would bless these men in this church. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Sorry I went over so much, but thank you all for being a part of lots of significant things at CVC today. God bless you.